This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Tuesday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And we have a little housekeeping on our app. Hunter, you want to go fill everybody in on that?
Yes, we've been getting a couple of phone calls. Some people are struggling. The app we're trying to improve the app experience when you're listening on the app and through the streaming services, which, of course, is causing some hiccups in the system as we go along. We've been running a few updates and trying to get it as crystal clear and as efficient as possible for the listeners. So if you're having some challenges with streaming our content right now, that would be the reason why. It's not user error, it's on our end, but we should have that fixed all up and be better than ever before you know it.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, I know a lot of people stream it. I stream it a lot of times too. And so also, if you do miss anything live, of course, we're out on all the major platforms. You can get us on Spotify, Apple, iTunes, and the like. Or you can go to kykn.com, go to the podcast tab, and we're right there. And you'll have like I said, every show I always put links to everything. And of course, I will put links to everything from this show, because we're going to jump on the phone right now because we've got Terry Scott, who is the executive director of the B17 Alliance in Salem, and they have a big event coming up. Terry, how are you?
I am great. Very excited for this weekend.
Yeah. Are you exhausted? So, I mean, you're going nonstop.
We are going nonstop, yes. But we have a lot on the plate and a lot of things for families to do on Saturday at the Salem Airport.
Awesome. Awesome. Give us a rundown on what's coming up.
Okay, so we are celebrating the Lacey Ladies' birthday. This year is 79 years. This is a fundraiser, but we have made it very affordable. It's $5 admission to come in. And then we are having a cruise in with military vehicles, classic cars, and any kind of vehicle is welcome. $25 to register your vehicle, and you can put four people in the car if you want, whatever it is. And we've got seven amazing-looking trophies with the Lacey Lady on them for the cruise-in people. People's Choice, and a lot of other things too for the cars who come in and help us make this event a success. So we have lots of fun things. On top of that, we have a speaker from the Seattle Museum of Flight. Her name is Alice Miller. She's a living historian, and she is going to tell the stories of people she knew, the World War II men and women that served our country, and she's bringing uniforms that she knows everything about them, and it is so wonderful. It's a fashion show of military. It's called Beauty and Duty. And we're really excited about having her come to share the history behind these uniforms and why they matter.
Yeah, absolutely. And then highlighting the women who served as well. It's like the guys get all the attention, but a lot of women served.
Right. This is the Lacey Ladies' birthday party, okay? And the Lacey Lady will be there for photo ops. So, you know, we're celebrating women in leadership for our community who love their country. And that's really important right now, I think, for all of us to remember that we can love our country.
Of course.
I have a story I wanted to tell you real quick, if I have a minute.
Go for it. Absolutely.
So about a week ago, we had we do student tours, and this particular one was an all-day tour. So we segmented five 30-minute classes and rotated the students through them. They were high school students. So then there were chaperones that came with them. And our segments were, my particular segment was the story of the family, how we came to Salem, entrepreneurship, why is it important as a free nation that we recognize entrepreneurship and how that sets us apart from other nations and why we should be proud of that and happy for it. And at the end of the day, so then we had, you know, history ones and on the home front ones and World War II women in World War II, just, and how to build a B-17 too was obviously one of the classes that they loved. But at the end of the day, I had this woman come up to me in broken English. She said she was from a Russian and she had lived here. She was an American Russian and she, was in tears. And she said, "Thank you so much for what you're doing. This brings me hope. This brings me hope because I'm losing hope with the nation because, you know, people who have experienced communism understand what's happening in our country. I have several friends who have come from communism and are now legal citizens and they live as Americans. And they're very concerned about what's happening. So what we're doing at the B-17 Alliance Museum is restoring a B-17, but we're also building the American spirit. We're mm-hmm. honoring the American spirit every day so that we can all understand how wonderful it is to live in this country and be free and respect that. And that's really what drives most of us, right? We yeah. want to recognize that. And that is why our volunteers are so generous and they bring passion and skills to the table so that we can preserve these stories, so that we can educate and inspire students of all ages. And yeah. it is really, really rewarding, and I am so excited. So this weekend, we're celebrating that. We're bringing all the community together to see what we do firsthand, but also raise money to help us keep going. So I just want to thank you for letting me be here today to share that, because it is a big passion for mine, as you can tell.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, and we've been involved for many, many years. We've done live broadcasts out there and all kinds of stuff, and we're fully supporting of that. I think I love the story that you told about the American of Russian descent talking to you about that, because there are so many people who have actually lived through it and are very concerned. So the work that you're doing and the education you're doing is absolutely critical.
It is, and it's what's such a nice vehicle. We have a B-17, one of less than 50 in the world,
yeah.
one of us less than 6 that is capable of flying again, and this is a two-flight restoration, so it is mm-hmm. an exact process. And it's pretty amazing what it can do. Just all the things around it, the museum, the World War II Education Center, the student outreach, the veterans outreach, all the things that we're doing. But this weekend, guess what you get to do? You get to dunk Hitler in the dunk
That's
tank.
That's right. I forgot the last time we talked to you. Hitler's in the dunk tank.
Yeah.
I love that. And I know you've got a lot of mementos, because for folks that maybe have not remembered or we haven't talked about it in a bit, the Lacey Lady, she was on a gas station in Milwaukee for more than 65 years.
Yes. Yes. So she was a landmark, a world famous mm-hmm. landmark. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I've told you this one before, but one time years ago, when Art Lacey was still running his gas station, mm-hmm. We got a letter from Europe, and it had no address, but it was said, all it said was the bomber, and it found us. So I still have that note, and I just think that's pretty amazing. So yes, it was a famous landmark for years, and then we found that we needed to take care of it differently. It was more than a sign for our business. And so my husband and I started the journey to restore it to flight again. And mm-hmm. it's been a long journey, but we are making it happen, and we have amazing volunteers standing behind it. And without the volunteers, it wouldn't be there. But, you know, they're retired professionals, mm-hmm. and they are helping us create a corporate structure that is remarkable. It is really amazing to come and see.
Wow. And again, this is this weekend, this Saturday. It's from 10 a.m. to 4. And it's at the airport. It's at the, you've got a hangar out there.
Yes, we got a hangar. It's actually on the airport. Our volunteers will be directing traffic, bringing you in as early as 10 a.m. We have a strong man at 11 o'clock. And Alice Miller is at 1 o'clock doing duty and beauty with the Living History Display. And food and cars and military vehicles and tours of the museum and just lots of fun things to do. There'll be a lot of activity, music. The strongman guy is going to possibly pull a World War II tank. And that's the other thing. There are, it's an opportunity. We have a World War II tank that will be on site, and you can buy a ticket to ride in it.
Oh, cool. Hunter, you're like,
ooh, okay.
So come on out, yeah.
Terry, if people want to learn more, especially if they want to donate, they want to volunteer, where can they find more information about you guys?
Well, we have a nice website, b17alliance.com. We are open Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays, 10 to 4. We give tours all that time. That's how you want to volunteer. You want to just get to know us. Come to our events. Come for our tour. Get to know us and see who we are, because we can't. You won't believe it until you really see it. And if you can't see it, then just get on the website and follow us there. We're also on Facebook at B-17 Alliance. Mm-hmm. We have 32,000 followers on our Facebook page, so it must be known okay.
Good.
Yeah, we just, you know, follow us, get to know us. That's what I say, you know. There's a lot to tell you in 15 minutes, and it's taken a lot of years to pull it all together, and there's just a lot of different venues and ways that we can share history together. We have a library, and mm-hmm. we're actually in have like 10 interns right now working almost full time with us, and it's been really exciting to see them grow. We did a graduation last week. We had an intern graduating from high school and an intern graduating from college, and both of them are very interested in the aviation field, and so it was really fun to surprise them with a little graduation ceremony.
But it was because
they learned how to do parts for the B-17.
Yeah, super, super valuable. And again, you told us the website. Also, you can go to kycan.com. We have a Jumbotron. There's a graphic out there that'll take you to all the information about the birthday party that's coming up, the celebration, and there's also, you can look at our community calendar, and we've got information out there. And again, as always, all of this will be linked up in show notes. Well, Terry, I know it's going to be an amazing event. Congratulations to you, and especially for the Lacey lady. She looks gorgeous for 79.
Yes, she does. And she'll be live and walking around this Saturday at the Salem Airport.
Excellent.
We have a really cute redhead that is does our mascot for us.
She's a
branding person, she says.
Oh, nice. Well, again, Terry Scott, executive director of the B-17 Alliance. Thanks, Terry, for taking the time. Have a great time this weekend.
Thank you very much. Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, we're going to take our first break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
All righty. Welcome back, everybody. So we talked yesterday about IP28 kind of coming up a little bit short. And, you know, and a lot of people are like, oh, this is crazy. It's not going to pass. And it's, you know, and we're like, well, you know, it is Oregon Measure 110. But great follow out on X. And she kind of nailed it because we've been kind of dancing around this. But Honey Badger Mom nailed it. And she said, people crowing about the ridiculousness of IP28 and their assuring of its failure in November are missing the point. Because I talked about it yesterday as like a shark bump. Mm-hmm. It's like a nudge. Let's just kind of see. And she kind of... So I'm going to read a little bit about this, and we can talk, we can discuss. She said it doesn't need to pass. It wasn't designed to pass from the beginning. These people are playing the long game, which is what the progressives and communists do. Mm-hmm. So this was kind of getting it out there, and it's the third attempt. There was IP13 in 2022, IP3 in 2024, and now IP28 in 26. Same chief petitioners, same funders, same core language, but this time they framed it differently and made headway actually gathering enough signatures. That was the big takeaway from this. They got 140,000 people mm-hmm. to sign on to this thing. Yep. Now they also have contact information, email addresses. They've built up a big list for the next time they want to bring this up. They tweaked the language a little bit to make it play better.
Oh yeah, and that's the thing is now they have a very strong base of where to begin when they need the signature gathering to happen in what I would assume 2028 based on their history.
Oh, yeah, it'll be back. Well, 22, 23, 20 or 24. Yeah. Yep. It'll be back. And that, she mentioned something else too. And I think we've talked about this. It's easy to mock and make fun of, but the other side of it is you need to take them seriously. It's easy to mock and make fun of, but they are always very well mobilized. And again, I'm talking about the communists. You might call them Democrats or progressives or whatever your choice. It's all the same. We need to stop laughing at them and take them seriously. When they tell you who they are, believe them. And they always now, the mask is completely off.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I look at from the time that I first heard of IP28 being out there gathering signatures. And a whole lot of online, it's like, yeah, it's never going to get the signatures. It's never going to pass. It's never going to make it anywhere. These are crazy wackos that aren't holding any strength, any validity. You know, they're not even going to get the signatures. Well, over time, they gathered the signatures. And granted, they're saying currently that it failed in the first round of verification,
right?
Which only means about 40 of the 140 plus they gathered aren't valid at most.
Right.
I mean, there's 100,000 people that probably legitimately signed on to this, and we'll figure out all of that as it comes along, but they got enough signatures to send it in.
Yeah.
And that alone, and then of course, then the next step is online. I'm sitting here seeing all these people mocking, you know, oh, well, even if it gets on the ballot, it's never going to pass. There's no way this and that. And I kind of go, this is Oregon. I would hold nothing for granted when it comes to election day.
And the people behind this knew it wouldn't pass in 2022. They knew it wouldn't pass in 24, and they knew it wouldn't pass in 26. what they're doing is they're desensitizing you. They're getting you used to this language. They're normalizing an idea. They're shifting the Overton window. So by the time the one that actually comes out, you've looked at something so outrageous for the past three election cycles, whatever it eventually boils down to is like, oh, yeah, okay, aw, I can vote for that.
Well, and I look at it from personal experience. If I go back about 15 years ago, this same type of people, these same kind of groups, they were the ones at major events standing outside holding up signs of pelts and butchering and torturing little cute animals and yada, yada. So I'm kind of going, they realized that that probably didn't play real well, especially to people walking by with their children. But being able to tell them, this is to end animal cruelty. This is to keep people from brutalizing poor animals and you know, make them breed when they don't want to and force them to take their eggs and their milk and their meats and things like that. We just can't have all that.
That's sticking a sticker on your T-bone saying, this is Chloe. And I'm like, hello, Chloe. You'll be delicious, Chloe, after I throw you on the Traeger tonight.
Well, but that's the thing. As I look at it and I go, in 15, 20 years, they've changed the messaging and are getting the response they desire step by step, piece by piece. And we can't take it for granted that it's not going to come back bigger and stronger and softer sounding come 2028.
Hence, this is recon, and it was meant to fail. Anna, you see this all the time with other things. I mean, you've looked at the evolution of global warming and how that has changed over time, and the language used has changed over time. I mean, you look at any of the issues that are championed by the progressive communist left, and it's always that way. And you're seeing it also happening with data centers right now. We've had conversations about data centers where there's all of a sudden everybody is up in arms and really angry about the data centers. When you back it down a little bit, it's like AI is here. It's inevitable. We need these. And there's a lot of people coming out and really kind of shining a light on that. Where's that propaganda to scare you coming from? Do they not? There's always a method behind the messaging, and you have to be able to kind of peel it back and take a hard, sober look at where's it coming from and what's the intended desire of the messaging? Why do they want you upset and out there saying no?
Mm-hmm. Well, like you said, they're playing the long game.
Yep.
So many. And unfortunately, we are in a short attention span theater right now, where if you're holding someone's attention for more than 15 minutes, you've done an amazing job. So I sit here and go, you know, you can go back. You said global warming. Remember, the first messaging out of global warming is the world's going to end on these days. And they gave
it was going to freeze.
It was going to freeze. It was going to burn up. It was going to do whatever. And they keep giving you dates, you know.
Yep.
The coastline is going to be underwater by this day. Well, those days came and went. So now the fear tactic of this day or all hell's breaking loose are no longer working. So now we have to soften it. We have to create ways that we can make it feel a little more personal to you.
Yeah. And you change the language where now it's just it's climate change. Well, that encompasses everything from how hot it's going to be today to how cold it may be, which is why you see even in weather reporting, the same temperatures 20 years ago were just normal summer. Now they're like the maps are red, heat advisories, be very afraid. It's like 1984. They've got to have you in a constant state of fear and anger. It's like Ingsoc and the 5 minutes or however many minutes of hate every day. And they've got to keep that high. And progressive communist Democrats are very good at that. They've been at it for a very long time. And they get that where a lot of times conservatives don't. It's like you got to be a little incremental sometimes. And we've got too many purity tests on the right.
Well, yeah.
Sometimes you just can move the ball just a little bit and it's good.
Well, and that's the trick. I sit here and I look at you. You watch the local news. You watch the national news. You go online and you look through some of the news stations. But everything is about instilling fear. Watching the news this morning, the next couple of days are red weather advisory because we're going to be in the mid 90s. Oh my gosh, mid 90s, and we got to be scared of that
in July? What?
I know. Can you believe it? But then, you know, and then of course the accompanying stories of how you can stay cool on this day. And, you know, I mock and I'm like, I can't believe these reporters are out there in this kind of weather, risking life and limb to report on it.
Oh, they might get a little sun. Oh, no. And you know, there is a point where, like in Texas, everybody's got air conditioning, so they're kind of used to it. In Oregon, most people don't. In Washington, the Pacific Northwest, you don't. But you know what I always used to do? Just jump in the shower and go to bed wet with a fan blowing on you. I'm like, okay, I'm good.
Well, so being involved in sports at the youth high school level that I have been over the years, I've actually had a couple of conversations about why Oregon sports in general tend to trail places like Texas and Arizona and California and down in Alabama and things like that. And I talked to somebody from Texas and he said, well, the first thing is if it hits 100 degrees in Oregon, you cancel practice. You don't practice, especially if it's outdoors. And he goes, if we did that in Texas, we would never practice.
Yeah.
If we did that in Arizona, we would never practice. So, you know, I understand it's the way it is, and you're not, your body's not accustomed to that temperature here.
Sure.
But at the same time, let's look at it and go, is it really, if you're taking the right precautions, as deadly as they want to make you think 96 degrees is?
Right. And most, I mean, again, with the fear, you can go back to COVID and how all that was treated. So, yeah, but circling back to Honey Badger Mom, she's absolutely right. And I'm glad she's got, it's a very long post out there. And it's important to start every time you see something like that, look at what's behind it, dig a little deeper. It's data gathering. And that's pretty much all it is. It's testing the language. It's a shark bump. It's just a little nudge to see.
Well,
and they'll keep nudging until they get it just right, because Oregon is the petri dish.
Well, and these groups and these NGOs, they now have a long list of emails and mailing addresses and phone numbers for people they can reach out to try and rally behind not only this cause, but any cause that they determine that the woke side of the aisle is all about.
And they got to get the non-wokies who will just go, oh, okay, aw, and they'll sign on too. Nobody wants to be cruel to Bambi. What? So keep watching it. All right, we're going to take a break for the bottom of the audience. Come on back.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
All righty, welcome back, everybody. Well, we've kind of got a military theme going on today's show. And joining us in the studio today, we have Army National Guard Major Jason Goddard. And seated right next to him is our own Mike Alger. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you.
Hi, good afternoon.
So, Major Goddard, I'm sorry, you are the Executive Officer for Recruiting and Retention Command in Oregon. We keep hearing a lot on the news about the National Guard. Can you give us a little background about the National Guard, your role in it? And what do you guys actually do?
Yeah, I appreciate that. So the Oregon Army National Guard, or Oregon National Guard here in the state of Oregon, comprises of both the air and the army component. We're comprised of approximately 8,000 citizen soldiers who live, work, and serve in the state of Oregon. Many times someone will come up and see me in my military uniform and they'll be like, oh, so you're in the army, right? You know, my cousin joined the Marines recently and...
Yeah.
And I ask them, do they understand what the Oregon National Guard is? And some do. And actually, surprisingly, the majority do not. So
yeah,
Oregon Guardsmen live, work, and serve in the state of Oregon. Our commander in chief is Governor Tina Kotek. And then we're run by a two-star General Alan Grunwald in the state. And so as citizen soldiers, we're unique from the active component because we comprise of part-time service members who outside have civilian careers. And so we have the gamut of public administrators, teachers, lawyers, medical professionals. Each month they come in and they do their duty training during the weekend, and then they go back to their civilian careers. Our main mission in the Oregon Guard is the protection of Oregonians, right? We specialize in the mobilization and of domestic operations, as far as we're well aware of what we've seen on the news is state wildland fires. We helped during some humanitarian COVID-19 assistance. I mean, we run the gamut. But at the end of the day, we do have a portion of our mission, which is to be federalized and support the federal component. But at the end of the day, one of the proudest moments of my career is that I can live, work, and serve as an Oregon National Guardsman here in the state of Oregon.
So now, are you former active duty? Are there a lot of former active duty that are in the Guard?
I am former active duty. Yeah. So I grew up here in Oregon. I'm a hometown boy in Dallas, Oregon.
Here, Dallas.
And
yeah.
Here we go. So small little town just west of Salem. And I needed a change, right? So I barely graduated high school. I needed some life purpose. I needed some direction. And so I did go seek out an active duty recruiter and then mm-hmm. left the state and was part of a special forces battalion. That's a whole different story. But and then when I got out, I had a long break of service and mm-hmm. I missed it. I missed wearing the uniform. And when I went and talked to the National Guard, they told me everything I just described. Like, you can serve and continue your military service part time in the state of Oregon. And that's what I've been doing for 19 years now.
Wow.
It's just been a phenomenal opportunity. Life purpose was a big thing for me, right? I wanted to do something. I wanted to serve. And it's done so much for me professionally. We can talk about later, but, so I'm still 10 years to go, you know, going strong in my military career, but it's just been the honor of a lifetime here to serve in Oregon.
So are there, you said you run into people that they see sort of the camo that you're wearing, the fatigues, mm-hmm. and they don't know which branch. Are there a lot of common misconceptions out there about what the Guard does?
Well, first and foremost, we're a component to the state, right? We belong.
Yeah.
So that's, which I've mentioned is,
right.
We are citizen soldiers.
Sometimes
we'll
hear the president is going to come in, then the governor, and a lot of people, there seems to be some confusion and people get upset.
sure. Well, as National Guardsmen, we are a service component that can be called upon for federalization to augment active duty deployments overseas, OCONUS. But mm-hmm. our first primary mission is to serve the state. We're citizen soldiers in the state.
Okay.
And so domestic operations, emergency response. Obviously, there's been a lot of news about our Blackhawks doing search and rescue on Mount Hood.
Yeah.
I mean, that's our primary focus and our mission.
And then wildfires, you said, of course, which are unfortunately Oregon and Washington, too. I mean, really has to deal with every year.
Mm-hmm. We do have a fairly large footprint in wildland firefighting. We have trained service members that train ahead of time. And then we work closely with the Oregon Department of Fire and with the state to augment some of the full-time active wildland fire crews that are activated throughout the state.
Okay. And I know, go ahead, Mike, because you look like you.
Oh, no, I was just listening. I know he mentioned me. I got out 4 years, got out in 1980, got a degree.
Uh-huh.
And I did exactly what he did. I missed it.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to join, and that's why I joined the Air National Guard, because that was their force. And I got a chance to work with the Army as well down here. But one of the things is that, you know, with the military changing, we certainly have always need for certain jobs, EMOS, if you will, your mm-hmm. service job. But right now, it's even more diversified in some areas. Could be from drones to controlling the border to whatever.
Yeah, that's one of the great key takeaways from being an Oregon Guardsman is that they're going to provide you with training that will really tap into your civilian career ambitions, right? So mm-hmm. we run the gamut of leadership training, technical skill training. They'll pay for your college if you want to go in a specialized field. Like, the list of opportunities to get a leg up on life.
Mm-hmm.
Things are very difficult right now in the economy. Schools is expensive. Things are expensive. Just the other day, a young gal came back from Arizona who works in my daughter's childcare area. And she said, I couldn't cut it. It was too expensive. Like, food is too expensive. Rent's too expensive. Someone who is interested in joining the National Guard here in the state of Oregon can get an extreme leg up on life with just financial school assistance, with additional pay, and then that will tap into some of the long-term civilian accomplishments that they've set their sight on, which will help them in life. Like, I can go off today on the benefits, like, as a major right now in the Oregon Army National Guard, like, my VA loan has given me the opportunity to purchase two homes, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's paid for my school. I have phenomenal medical insurance for my family, which is very low cost. When I hear about what people on the civilian side are paying for medical benefits, I'm aghast. Like, how expensive.
You don't even want to know.
So we've talked about kind of these themes and messages a lot, with just kind of the side of the coin, with the economy, with the politics. Like, if you take all of that aside, a young person who's eligible to join the Oregon Army National Guard could get so much further ahead with their peer group by just having the propensity to serve and taking advantage of the benefits. It's just the sky's the limit once you make that decision.
And, you know, Denise, I think it changes us. It changed me every time someone will see me from 50 years ago and say, you're not that same, you know, semi-timid, non-talkative guy. And I thought, well,
what?
Yeah, I know.
You?
I know.
Actually, that's I'm glad you mentioned that because I want you, both of you have mentioned the culture. And, you know, you talk about the culture sort of writ large, where it's very, very fragmented. Social media, people are not going out. They're not getting together. You talked about the camaraderie and wanting to get back in. Talk a little bit about that. I think that's really important, especially for young men.
So the team that I work with, I went in originally with, hey, I'm going to get some college paid for, right? And then 19 years later, I'm still in. And first and foremost, it's aside from the benefits, it's just the phenomenal culture of leadership that we've had over the years. I've had amazing mentors. I was just kind of a floundering kid who barely made it through Chemeketa, right? You know, and I'm like, I need to do more. I need purpose. And I met the right guy who happened to be an Army recruiter who just said, you know, I can help you with purpose. I can give you direction. I wanted an environment where I could challenge myself. Yeah. And so I go off to basic training. I get picked up for Ranger selection. And when I look back at that young kid who came in, I had no idea of the potential that I held until I was given the opportunity. And for me, I kind of needed some left and right limits in my life. Like, you know, what do I need to do? Another door would open. What do I need to do with this? Another opportunity for professional military education. What do I need to do with this? Hey, we're going to send you to airborne. And then they're like, hey, you should become an officer, right? And I'm like, can I do that? You know, with a college degree, you can. So it's just you get out of it what you put into it. And I would say that as an older guy now entering the last phase of my career, I'll talk to these young people who are just looking for life, direction, and purpose. And I want to put to bed a lot of these, like, these opinions of what being in the military is, right? There's so much, like, negative media about what we're doing and all this, like, negative insight. But really, it comes down to just developing young hearts and minds, young leaders within our communities to make the community better. Like, I can talk to 5 different employers right now that are just thrilled to have Oregon Army National Guard members in their place of employment because of their work ethic, because of their drive, you know, and it just provides all of these skills. But there's a lot of naysayers like, if you join the military, you know, you're going to ruin your life. Well, here's a shocking statistic for you. Less than 3% of people in today's country are even eligible to serve. We are seeing an onslaught of people that are requiring medical waivers, that can't pass an ASVAB score, that just don't even make the cut to join the team that I'm part of. And to your audience out there, if there's anyone interested right now, like, we in Oregon would love to have qualified people who need purpose in their life to join our ranks. And that's why I'm here today to talk about that.
And one of the things that when he said about how you're influenced back in the late 70s, early 80s, when I got out, I went right to college as 25-year-old. I didn't want to go to college before that. I couldn't. And then someone in the military said, hey, you've got this skill. You've got this ability. You could be a sportscaster, a DJ. And that's what I did. I got out and got into radio, did it a while, 6-7 years, did it here, still do it here, but I do it part-time. And then I became a spokesperson for various agencies using those skills that I developed in the military.
Yeah.
And does everybody have that happen to them? No. And why am I sitting here? Because this man and his in the Army National Guard, they've been a sponsor of our sports for almost a year now. You've heard them on their spots. They're coming up. They're on for the Mariners. They're on for high school sports that we broadcast and other things as well. They fit with our demographic. And I'm glad that they're part of our team as well. But if I hadn't gone in the military, I think a lot of people would do well to get 2 years in the military. I think you'd see a lot of different changes and you wouldn't see what you described, Denise, and that is the cloistered, quiet, you know, stay-at-home COVID mentality.
Exactly. COVID mentality, where you've got people that aren't interacting. They may not ever. And I like that you both talked about how certain skills that you didn't even really know you had were encouraged and they were brought out while you were serving.
Yeah, and that's part of it. But I'm going to say, what are you looking for? I am curious that the Army Guard has needs and is always going to need. Was it 11 Foxtrot? What is it? 11.
Well, so right. Yeah, it changes, right? Where the Army has the needs are dynamic, right? They ebb and flow. A couple months ago, we were short on cooks, believe it or not. Mm. You know, like 92 Golf is the military occupational specialty. And so they had a $20,000 bonus to go learn how to cook.
Wow.
Today, right now, we're looking for mortar men, like 11 Bravo infantry men is kind of like what the Oregon Army National Guard needs right now to fill its ranks. But that aside, like we have jobs for everybody, right? We run the gamut on learning something on the guard side that would feed into a civilian occupation. So we have EMT courses, medical, we have engineer programs, we have aviation programs, we have emergency domestic response opportunities. Like the list goes on and on. And we're looking for members to join our team in the state of Oregon that one have propensity to serve. Mm-hmm. To give back. A life of service is mm-hmm. kind of a dwindling concept these days.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And there are many that are like I shared with you all is I was a little like failed to launch. Like the military and the Oregon Army National Guard gave me this little nudge in life where I started to develop confidence. So if there are youth out there that are struggling with maybe a dead end job or their employers came back to them and said, hey, we're going to give you like that nickel raise for an entire year, you know, that's been happening and they're just not career centric. If you get aligned with the Oregon National Guard, they can put you on a path where you're just not on this job path. You're on a life career path and it will just continue to open doors, provide opportunities, growth opportunities. Professional military education. Like I've been overseas like two times, you know.
Wow.
I've been deployed to Somalia. It was one of the most beneficial experiences of my life where I came home and I had this vast new appreciation of the privileges we have here in the United States, regardless of all of our issues and negative attention in the media. Like kids over there weren't on cell phones. They were begging for water. Right.
Yeah.
And so when you come back from those third world countries like that, you have this whole new perspective on how important and how well we have it, how important your family is, hold them close, but also about some of the privileges we have and the opportunities.
Is it still one weekend a month, 2 weeks a year, so to speak?
So I need to be real with that. Right. So there are pressing obligations that are considerably leading to more time with our Oregon Guardsmen. The baseline premise is 1 week in a month, 2 weeks a year. Now, because of strength issues, we've had some dip in strength. We've been asking a lot of our Guards members to augment federalized forces, to really go overseas, multiple deployments. And so I know that our leadership in the state now is taking a step back from that, and we're getting back to more of a consistent routine schedule with our training. 1 week in a month, 2 weeks a year. However, there are some times where we are working longer weekends and our summer and annual training requirement may be approximately 3 to 4 months. So it does happen. But the benefit of that is it doesn't come last minute notification. Like we're telling our families a year in advance of what those requirements are so they can ensure they get their family care programs put together and planned accordingly.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's good information. That's all the time we have today, unfortunately. We will have you back. But what's a website people want to learn more? And again, this will all be in show notes.
Yeah. So this year, 700 people is our goal to join. 700 people. So I can get 700 people to join. There are 4.2 million in Oregon. Like, let's try to get that prerogative out there. Oregon needs strength. So help me, as people in this room, leaders who are listening, 700 people is what we need this year. You can find us at OregonArmyGuard.com. Real simple. It's going to go over all the benefits, get you in touch with a recruiter, but that's Oregon Army Guard. And I appreciate your support in developing the strength for the upcoming year. We really need it to get back to be kind of that service of choice for Oregonians. Thank you
for
your time.
Yes, absolutely. Great information again. Army National Guard Major Jason Goodard, Mike Allegor. Thank you both gentlemen for your service. It's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you, Denise.
All right, thank you so much.
All right, we're going to take our last break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Cozy's New York Deli.
All righty. Really good information. I learned a lot. I did not realize that only 3% even qualify.
Yeah.
And that was a little shocking to me. I guess maybe it shouldn't be, but it was.
Well, and as a male that graduated from high school, you know, a few years ago, I got my 30-year high school reunion coming up next month.
Yours is still last century.
I know. But it hits home with me because I didn't know what direction I wanted to go. I had no clue. You know, it really took me about 15 to 20 years to even end up on this trajectory.
Yeah.
So I sit here and I kind of go, you know, with this generation of kids, and especially with Oregon schools failing the way they are.
Yeah.
I sit here and go, how many kids are coming out of our local high schools with no direction? That either leads to one of three things: either, you know, hiding out in a basement playing video games in mom and dad's house, a string of dead end jobs, or into the criminal element. And I just sit here and go, how beneficial would, you know, reaching out, just trying to see if they qualify for something like this, because the benefits, and we talk about it with Amy McLeod all the time.
I was just going to say that. We talked about that with Elizabeth.
Extraordinary.
I know. And then again, sort of this aimlessness, directionless. I actually toyed with it a little bit too when I was younger. I didn't end up going that route. But I mean, with so many kids that are just aimless, and I mean, how many have we seen viral videos where like, well, that guy could do with 2 solid years of some structure and some learning?
Well, and I always, you know, a little bit of that conversation brought me back to when I was working in the food industry, in the restaurant business. And you run into such a wide swath of people, and some treat you real well and others treat you like you're just a you know, bug under their shoe. And I'm kind of going, how beneficial would it be to have people like kind of, you know, serve in a service industry or now, you know, a military aspect, to understand what it's truly all about and how much effort people put into. My wife tells me all the time, I tip better than I probably should in some situations because I've lived it, I've worked it, and I know what it is to be in that service industry.
Yeah, my first jobs were in food service, busing, and I was a dishwasher. I lasted a whole 2 days in the dishwasher job. I was not a very good worker back then, but I did retail for years. And you learn to deal with, and I did it on the East Coast in New Jersey, North Jersey, and I got a lot of New Yorkers coming over. And you have to learn how to deal with difficult people. Mm-hmm. And so when you do get really good service, and when I see and get good service, I reward it. Because it's a thankless job. It's very, very hard because you still got to smile even though you're dealing with Susie, who's a bit of a jerk.
Well, and based on what you can see online now, it's probably gotten even a little more difficult to work in those kind of industries.
Well, now you got to worry about chairs being thrown at you over the counter, or people launching over there and throwing french fries at you because you didn't give them enough ketchup. So hats off to people in service right now. Because, back in the day, you had difficult people, but not what it is now. I mean, a whole lot of people could use with a little structure and I'm really glad we had Major Goodard on. And so, again, all of that information will be in show notes. I can think of so many people that would benefit, plus the nation. And you've got really great people in there.
Well, and especially when we're talking about the Oregon National Guard, the state of Oregon.
Yeah.
You know, we need good people here. We have, you know, unfortunately, we talk about it, fire season. We don't want it, but we get it. And those supports and the COVID and the health and those other things, it is a thankless job that we need more of.
Absolutely. So again, if you missed any of the links, any of the thing, B17, Lacey Lady, all of that will be in show notes. All right. We've got another great show planned for you tomorrow. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.